morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, April 17th, 2018. We're gathered in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room, and it is 9 a.m. President are Commissioner Hare, Commissioner Morgan, and Commissioner DeYoung. We'll start this morning with item number one, presentation from the Sheriff, Dave Daniels, and about car cameras. Sheriff?
Thank you, Chair, Commissioner. I appreciate that. Good morning, Commissioners, as well. And Arthur, thanks for coming. The Josephine County Sheriff's Office historically has not been up to current standard in reference to some technological advances that have come to law enforcement as a whole. Industry-wide, you've seen a push for in-car cameras maybe a decade ago, maybe longer. Recently, you're seeing a push for body cameras. I think it's about time the Josephine County Sheriff's Office started catching up with the times and looking at in-car cameras. So, as you know, I came to the board, what, 3-4 months ago, and kind of told you that I was going to start looking at them and ask for your blessing to continue that process, and that was granted. And so, basically, here we are today with a proposal from one of the many companies that we looked at to get in-car cameras. Something about the in-car video systems that are very important is just the mere evidence that it catches. Some of the scenes that we roll up on are ever-changing, volatile, fast-paced, and things, you know, and unsure. Case in point is the shooting that one of our sergeants was involved in out in Cave Junction recently that was caught entirely on camera from an Oregon State Trooper that has, and all their cars have cameras. It showed absolute justification to the DA that the action taken that day was appropriate and actually necessary. In-car cameras show transparency. They quantify that our deputies are acting in a professional manner, because we're able to review that and on a routine basis. We went to, I think, a total of about 4 companies, received quotes, and eventually went with the company that you're looking in front of. That company, I'm told by our IT director, has about 85% of the market share. They have the newest system up, certainly what I perceive to be the most advanced system up, in the form of Axon, which is also the founder of Taser.
So, because it's over 150, it doesn't that trigger the qualify for a formal RFP? And should we, I mean, yeah, I think you've done great work to say that.
Okay.
I think we were sold on the need. Mm-hmm. I mean, you said it a decade ago. That's probably being generous. It's probably two. Mm-hmm. Plus the safety of the officers, the reduced liability, the it totally makes sense, 110%. Mm-hmm. The price isn't bad, but I think unless there's some sort of, there are elements of like a proprietary or a special, where we don't have to go out for a special RFP, but the $150,000 is the trigger typically,
right,
for a
formal. The $192 includes your annual licensing fees on an ongoing basis, so the actual purchase of the equipment itself is right at $150. But you're also right that we have some discretion as far as within our model public contract rules for proprietary equipment, too.
So. I'm not saying that the person you selected, 85% of them, sure substantiates some sort of expertise in the issue. I'm not opposed to that at all. I just don't want to put our foot forward and then find ourselves having to go back for an RFP.
I'm a bit unaware of what you're talking about, so leave that up to you all.
I just don't want to say anything in this meeting that proposes some sort of a preconceived bias, because I don't want a challenger coming out of that 15% saying, hey, you guys already made up your mind before you threw out an RFP. We don't want to do that.
Okay.
I think we're totally open, like you guys evaluated three other options. Mm-hmm. Let's not talk too much about who, but what. And you're looking for an in-car camera system.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Well, and I think from my standpoint, I'm curious, there used to be cameras, so I know they were outdated.
Once upon a time.
Yeah, so right. It's almost a replacement of property versus buying a new system and getting authority, you know. They were approved for them 20 years ago.
There was an old Panasonic system that is no longer, it's antiquated and no longer in use.
Does this give you room to grow, or does this, for instance, if you put more cars on and you add more cameras, does it bump that up by so much per unit?
You would have to purchase a new unit for the vehicle.
What
I forecasted, though, is literally, you know, it could be the next 3 years at least, at about 20 cars.
Okay.
Unless we find some more money and then it's a new ballgame.
Do they keep up with upgrading? I have a computer in one of my cars that I bought a year and a half ago, and I was told today that, boy, this is, you should have really waited a year and a half.
I hate that they say I bought it a year and a half ago and it's 10 years old.
Yeah, and that's a good way to put it. It's already a year and a half ago and it's 10 years old.
Yeah, one of the neat things about this particular camera system is it's called the Fleet 2. They stopped making the Fleet 1 this month. And the Fleet 2 is not going to be purchased or not going to be manufactured until next month. So it's really leading
as
cutting edge as it gets.
Okay.
How long does this take to put in? And is it transferable? I know a couple of your cars are
not new. Yes.
So we'd be able to pull it out pretty easily.
This is a one-time purchase.
Throw it in the new one.
Part of the contract is...
own the equipment?
We own the equipment. Okay. But it's still under warranty. Part of the deal with... installation is they send a trainer up.
Nice.
And then we have our people, IT, has volunteered. Who has been absolutely fantastic to work with, I might add, on this. And then we'll contract with somebody local to install.
Do they have a program, I don't even know if we even asked this or they even have it, do they have a program where you say, no, I'm gonna lease the equipment and then you keep it updated? We don't own it. We own it. It's ours, and when it's outdated, you throw it away.
They update.
Oh, they do.
They update for us.
Well, they have this particular contract has a 5-year replacement. At the end of the 5 years, we get all new cameras in here.
Oh, so this is kind of a lease as well.
Look at it.
Built-in upgrades.
Yeah.
Purchased.
So as the technology gets better, we get the better equipment.
Great. Mm-hmm.
John, do you have anything to add?
No, we talked to Jackson County. We talked to Grants Pass. We got raves from the police that use them in Grants Pass. The IT director at Jackson County said that they have very little to do it. Now, they use Axon for body cams, and the body cams, a different upload process, but they've had almost no issues at all with
that. That's fantastic.
Because
we don't want a huge amount of,
it
works great in the field, but then you're spending
two hours for every hour.
It's pretty turnkey when the vehicle's out in the field, and it does its recordings, drives into the lot at the headquarters, and automatically uploads through Wi-Fi to a server, and then that server ethernets it to the cloud.
The only concern we might have is just the broad bandwidth that we use. Wednesday's the big day. And so we'd have no idea how much that's going to use our network. So the worst thing that might happen is we might have to get another internet connection for the sheriff.
Also, we did contact, or JJ contacted our insurance carrier and asked them what they thought of this particular company. And they were 100% supportive of this company and what they do and how they conduct themselves. So CIS was on board with Axon.
Well, sounds good. Utilizing this software, it integrates with whatever kind of like testimony or evidence with the courts. Just send it right in.
Absolutely. It goes to evidence.com, which can be accessed by the district attorney remotely from their desk.
Nice. Perfect. Okay, it seems
like no more CDs.
Okay. Everything's pretty dialed in. And you've been really diligent in your budget this year, so you still have at least this.
Oh yes.
So.
Oh yes, and then some.
You have to make wasn't budgeted for this.
I will say that this was something that I wanted to purchase, at least in part, by grant funding.
Yeah.
And we have scoured the nation for grants for this, and I think the only one left I even have to chance with is ODOT, but.
CIS doesn't offer anything from an insurance standpoint?
I contacted Dave Nelson, and I got a no answer.
Okay.
There was a little something they had for body cams, but they had nothing for in-car systems.
Are you looking at that in the future, 4 or 5 years?
I have not decided on that yet.
Yeah.
There's a lot to that.
Yeah.
So we're going to baby step with this and start. It is, however, should we decide to go that route, it's as simple as just picking up the camera. Yeah. And actually, this total price is not probably the final price. This price was, I think, was listed with body cams. And in turn, what they'll have to do is just have a remote receiver. So the price will go down and body cams won't be included. But if you wanted to upgrade, then you just go to the body cams, give the receivers back and go there. But that's an option we can look at down the road. I'm not thoroughly convinced yet.
To do that. Okay, any other questions for Sheriff, Undersheriff, IT?
Seems interesting that, you know, the first initial payment is so low, and I'm sure there's a valid reason for that, but usually you're buying the equipment in the first year and then you're just paying for a maintenance schedule or something like that, or a software lease or whatever. It would be counterintuitive for me that
it's the same model as the Pure Storage that we just received, where in the year three we start to replace the equipment. It's an easier entry point. We're seeing it more often.
However, in this particular case, if I'm not mistaken, Director O'Hare, this would be a one-time this fiscal year purchase.
We could. That was a question I asked, is rather than spread this over a five-year period, can we just purchase it all up front since we have the budget to do that right now, rather than parceling it out over the next five?
You get a reduction paying cash up front?
We should.
I tried. I tried.
Discount for cash.
I tried.
We're in Southern Oregon. We have a lot of cash around here.
Commissioner, I asked that question.
All right.
And it was a no.
Well, then we're playing with a credit card for miles. Everybody's going
somewhere. The shoebox out of the basement and we'll pay you in cash.
Right. Right.
No. Excuse me.
This looks great. I think paying for it in this year makes a lot of sense in getting it done. Obviously it can't be paid for with the levy funds, but there's other resources in your budget, and I think it's totally an appropriate use. The liability one for me, and just that example that you used, that one-time situation can pay for itself, and that we don't have that, I don't like the idea of putting both the officers and the public at potential risk, and, you know, question, if it just alleviates questions, it's huge. So it's the industry standard. Makes a lot of sense.
Another step in just trying to further professionalize the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and your diligence as far as checking in with four different vendors and Jackson County and the City of Grants Pass, those are all the standard elements that I'm thinking we need to ask whenever anything comes from South
Road. Going along that line, excuse me, but are you cross-connected with the City of Grants Pass or in any way?
No.
Joined at the hip so you can share information or anything?
No.
Okay.
Their connection would probably come just at the focal point of the DA.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Okay, any other questions, Commissioner Morgan?
Nope. Let's check across some T's and dot some I's on that.
I'll get back to you.
Okay. Sounds good.
Let the record show that Commissioner Morgan smiled.
Again.
Thank you, Commissioners. I appreciate your time.
Recorder didn't pick up the smile, but I got it. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you. Thank you, Travis.
Thank you.
Okay, next up, SOS presentation, Jay Meredith, Finance Director from the City of Grants Pass, but not acting in that. He's acting as Jay Meredith, the citizen at large.
That way I can get new stuff. Thanks, buddy. Good to see you again.
Thanks, Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a little handout for each of you here. Talks a little bit about a law enforcement project that SOS is embarking on right now.
Okay.
So I am here representing securing the nonprofit agency, Securing Our Safety.
I've got one here, take.
I got a new one for you.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah.
If you have one extra for my staff.
I do.
Thank you.
So I'm going to try in 10 minutes or less to give you an overview of what we're doing and hopefully, or why we think it's going to be beneficial to the Josephine County law enforcement and justice programs. And then at the end, some specific ways that if you choose to endorse this project, that you could help come along and make this project an even better project than if we were just doing this on our own. I also wanted to remind you, because there's over the years since this organization was formed in 2012 as a nonprofit organization, we've been perceived as a political organization at times, but that's not the case. We've not taken on any direct campaign activities. We've certainly been very, very supportive of research and public education efforts on on Josephine County law enforcement programs over the years, and we've been certainly been big advocates of funding measures. But we don't directly get involved in campaign activities usually. So there's been some misconceptions over the years as far as what we are and what we do. But we are a nonprofit organization that's dedicated to research and public education. And unless the Board of Securing Our Safety has a change of heart, this project that we're embarking on now will probably be the last project that we do before we pass all of our knowledge and information on to the powers that be that can take this to the next level, such as the commissioners and the sheriff. And so this project has been called, we actually came up with the idea for this project and decided that we were going to do this project a little over a year ago, even before the levy was voted on in May of 2017.
And so how did you do that?
How did we come up with it? Well, you know, we'd watched a lot of efforts for financial measures and other measures to fund our criminal justice and law enforcement programs over the years. And we noticed that there were a lot of questions about the status of our programs. There were a lot of questions from the public about, you know, what really are the crime rates? Are the crime rates going up? Are the crime rates going down? A lot of people, you know, generally in the public, unless they work in law enforcement or justice programs, unless they're affected by crime, they really have a tough sense of gauging where are these programs really at. So,
well, we had that non-binding question in 2013, and it revealed 75% of the public, including the city of Grants Pass, said that the current level of public safety is not meeting the community's needs. Mm-hmm. So we have a pretty definitive, and we can ask that question again, but I think we knew that the level of law enforcement wasn't serving whatever level of crime was going on in the community or concerned. So that was kind of one of the things that has kept the charge in front of the boards in the past of trying to craft the right tool solution in there. So,
and you know, I've listened or watched recordings of every meeting that you guys have had for years now at this point, even these meetings. So I know that one of your top goals, if not the top goal, is sustainable funding for law enforcement.
Right.
I know that at least once in the last year you've stated that you would like to do some sort of a little bit more of a formal strategic planning process for law enforcement. And I know you're working in a lot of different ways to make that happen, but this particular project could be, if you choose to endorse it, could be a start of a strategic planning process. And we were talking just a few weeks ago at one of our meetings that, you know, if depending on how we as a community decide to fund law enforcement in the longer term, if whatever comes next, if the public needs to vote on whatever comes next, whether it be a levy replacement at a different dollar amount or the same dollar amount or some other measure, if the public needs to vote on it, we're about 2.5 years away. As we sit today, we're about 2.5 years away from knowing where we need to go next with the levy cycle. So in order to give enough time for a strategic planning process, enough time for plenty of public education, if there is to be a measure that's voted on by the public, we really need to know about a year before the what would be the levy replacement vote or a vote on some other measure. We're really 2.5 years away from knowing where we need to go next, which means you know, 2.5 years is going to fly by, but before we know it, we're going to be in a spot of having to know, you know, where we go from here. And I know the commissioners are working hard on federal funding efforts and many other efforts, but there could certainly still need to be a component of some sort of local financial measure that sustains public safety, law enforcement, and justice programs over the years.
The levy that you guys just passed for City of Grants Pass, that's 3 years?
3 years, yes.
3 years, okay. So we're at five, but we're a year into ours, almost a year, so that's four there, so you're about, yeah.
Yeah, if you take
2.5 to 3.5 years.
Yeah, if you take, you would normally be voting, if it were to be a levy replacement or some sort of property tax measure, you're about, that would be voted on in 2021, so if you back up a year from there, you need to know about a year before then where you're going to go so you can do a public education campaign. And so if you back up the time frame, we're about 2.5 years. Ideally, we would want to know within 2.5 years of where we're going to go next. But this could be the start of a strategic planning process that really gives us not just Josephine County law enforcement and justice programs, but the city, the state police, really gives everybody a sense of where we're at. So we we will be, this is much bigger than just Josephine County programs, but the Josephine County law enforcement and justice programs would be the biggest component of this project. This project is being done for the benefit of Josephine County law enforcement and justice programs. And it didn't, you know, we could do this on our own if we chose to, but it's going to be a lot less costly and more efficient and much better product in the end if the county comes on board and collaborates with us on this project. So,
well, I think that what happens is the public out there wants to see the county and the city work together at more junctions rather than fewer. And I think if the city did this all by themselves, it wouldn't have a chance out in the county. And if the county did it by themselves, the city would go along reluctantly. But if the two step up and say, you know, we're in favor of this study, so we get a comprehensive look at what are, you know, because if we cross-connect at the jail, and a lot of different services are for both.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I see the value in, I don't know, it's collaboration or whatever between the two entities.
Yes, I have not, well, I've approached a lot of, excuse me, a lot of different members of law enforcement and justice programs. I haven't gone to say Lipsync to talk to them, but I have talked to a lot of the individual members that are represented at Lipsync. Chief Landis is fully in favor of this project. We haven't talked money, you know, any sort of, we haven't made any suggestions of financial contributions to date, but Chief Landis is in favor of this project. You know, we talked to the sheriff a few times over the years about this, over the last year about this project, and I think he sees that it could be a benefit in the long term. Your juvenile justice director, Jim Goodwin, he's actually going to become on board of the steering committee that we're setting up to support this project and to look over the shoulder of the contractor that we've engaged to do this project. So Jim Goodwin is, he's going to be working closely with us while we do this project. And so those are some examples of just about everybody we talked to said, yeah, this could be a really good project that could help us plan in the long term. And in simple terms, this project, I'm not a car guy, but if I was, I would say we would be lifting up the hood and figuring out what needs to be tuned up in the various programs and systems. It's mostly a research study that looks at hard data as far as where we're at in the different programs. One anecdotal thing that I throw out that I'm particularly looking forward to as we embark on this project is I've asked the question of a number of our local police officers and detectives, and I've asked the question of the serious crime incidences that you see, how many of those, on a percentage basis, how many of those do you think are related to illegal drugs like meth and heroin? And usually the response I get back is somewhere in the neighborhood of 45% to 75%. And if that's the case, and we may not, the data might not exist to be able to quantify that precisely, but that's one of the things we hope to get out of this project. How many of the crime incidences we're facing are directly or indirectly related to meth and heroin? Because there seems to be a perception that it's a very, very high percentage. And if that's the case, if we're able to quantify it with any certainty, we might direct our resources in law enforcement in a little different manner than maybe we are today. Maybe we add another member or two to the rogue area drug team. I mean, there's a lot of different ways that we could react if we had that data in front of us. So that's just an example of one thing that I'm looking forward to as a potential outcome of this study.
Will it compare present day data to, say, 10 years ago? Because 10 years ago, methamphetamine probably wasn't here.
Yes,
and
it was.
And heroin.
Yes, it was. We used to have meth labs. It was in a different fashion. So it's through trafficking mainly now because the state law is changing that don't allow us to get the cold medicine, as you can hear from my voice. Oh, sorry. You know, at the counter, you have to get it by prescription in Oregon. So it changed where meth was being made, but it hasn't decreased the meth that's out there.
The amount.
And okay. That's all I saw when I became a PO 2005 was meth. And when I was a reserve, we were still dealing with meth labs before that. So the increase has been the heroin. But they're both equal. If you look at stats right now, meth and heroin are both on a rise at an equal level. Mm-hmm. They're kind of being used together in conjunction with each other.
Yeah, most of the professionals in drug treatment that I've talked to have said it's usually a combination of things these days that somebody is addicted to. but to specifically answer your question, we didn't intend to go back 10 years. We intend to do some trend analysis in recent years, but not quite back 10 years. So the focus really is where are we at today? Because you really need a comprehensive feel for where we're at today in order to plan for the future. So we're going to focus mostly on where we're at today and where we've been in the last couple of years, not so much 10 years ago.
Is there a public element to this, to where you say, you just go out to the general public and say, what do you think we ought to be looking at? What's your concern? In other words, is it stolen cars? Is it chop shops? Is it meth and heroin? Is it marijuana? Is it, you know, property crimes, you know, breaking into my house and so on and so forth? Are you going to get kind of a feel for what the people are looking for and what their expectations are?
Not as much. The primary focus of this is a quantitative analysis. So looking at hard data, okay, hard facts, where are we truly at right now? To the extent that we can quantify that right now. I think the public process comes after
after
situational
analysis.
After we have some hard data as far as what were the conditions we're facing now, and then I think the public process can start as far as what the public feels, where we should go from here, and then, you know, eventually what sort of measures or funding mechanisms would the public support. And so this is it's geared to be primarily quantitative analysis, hard facts that we can back up.
So today, what are you looking for today? Are you looking for cooperation from our agencies that, you know, the county sheriff will cooperate in gathering data, assessor, I don't know what, you know, specifically.
So real quick, towards the bottom of this first page here, this is a $60,000 project. We've engaged an independent professional research firm called NPC Research to do this. This is totally in their wheelhouse. They do these sort of justice studies on a very regular basis. So I listed the main project manager down here just for your information. We've raised a little over $24,000 on our own towards this $60,000 project cost. To be completely honest with you, it has been very, very challenging to raise money. We set out to do this project without any tax dollars involved, and maybe there's still a chance of doing that, but to be honest, it's been very, very challenging to raise money for this project, because we've gone to a lot of grantor agencies and said, you know, here's a project we'd like to do, and a lot of them look at this and they think this is something that should be done by the governmental agencies, not so much by a nonprofit organization, or they don't typically give out technical assistance type grants unless you're a governmental agency. So it's been, we pursued a lot of different grant applications. We haven't been successful in any of them yet. In fact, one of them, after the levy was voted on last year, one of them said, we don't think you guys even need to do this anymore. And so they declined our grant application. It was
a levy expired.
It was a Southern Oregon based foundation too.
Does NPC Research have any ideas for fundraising? I mean, they obviously they do this for other places. How do they? What's their suggestions for?
I think they work with governmental agencies more often than they work with nonprofit agencies like us. And no, we haven't asked them their advice, but we have structured the contract so that we're only going to authorize the amount of work done based on how much we've raised towards the project, and they're well aware that we haven't raised the full amount for the project yet. So So it's been challenging, and it's been challenging to engage people in the law enforcement funding discussions in the last year. There's perception that it's at least temporarily solved, and you know everybody here knows that that's not really the case. We have a lot more work to do to get our law enforcement funded on a sustainable basis. So it's been hard to engage people in this challenge in the last year, and it's been even harder in the last year since the levy was approved. So specifically what I'm requesting of you today is on the second page. We're requesting that that you endorse this project, so to speak, and there's a couple different levels of endorsement that I think could potentially make sense if you feel appropriate. One would be to just endorse the project so that when our contractor reaches out to say the sheriff or the district attorney for stats, that we don't necessarily have to go through a public records request process. If you don't endorse the project, you know, we shouldn't be treated any differently than any private organization that wants information. We should have to go through a public records request. But if you do endorse this project, you can at least say, hey, any data that this particular contractor requests of you, please accommodate that, because we support and, you know, we're partnering on this project. So what I'm primarily asking is your endorsement and cooperation to get this done, because if you do that, we can get this done more efficiently and lesser cost. And again, these results are, you know, we think are going to be very, very useful to all your justice and law enforcement programs when we're done. A second potential level of sponsorship would be to, in addition to endorsing the project and partnering with us, would be to consider a financial contribution. As I said, when we started out, we intended to try to get this done without any tax dollars involved, but it's been very challenging, and we have a funding gap of about $30,000 to $35,000 if we're going to do the full scope of this project. So I have not yet approached the city. I'm going to wait and see what your chosen level of sponsorship is if you choose to endorse the project, and after I hear what the commissioners think about this project, I'm going to go to the city and ask for some support as well. Whether it be through, you know, the same levels of sponsorship that we're proposing here for the county. So we do have some businesses that have already agreed to come on board and be financial sponsors and corporate sponsors. Those include Southern Oregon Sanitation, All Care, and Evergreen Bank. And we're going to be going to others to continue the fundraising process, but it would be a big help if the county decided to endorse the project, even if it's without any financial contribution. So we're primarily asking for your cooperation and endorsement so that we can gather the information we need to gather in an efficient manner. But secondarily, we do have a funding gap of close to $30,000 in order to complete the full scope of the project. So I've also attached a draft of the project scope that we put together about a year ago in order for NPC to provide us a firm price quote for this project. And we also, at the very end of this package, is a line item project budget that they put together and how they came up with the $60,000 quote to do this project. So, as
how,
I've been...
How long will they honor that price?
That's a good question. I haven't asked that. But we actually have a project kickoff call scheduled for tomorrow morning. So we're actually going to get started on this project tomorrow morning. I can ask that of them tomorrow. I've been coordinating with my position with the city. I've been coordinating our performance audit program for the last about 7 years since we started doing performance audits with the city. This project is to some extent similar to a performance audit program, but since I've been overseeing all of the different performance audits that the city's done over the years, including one of the public safety department, I know that the quote that we were provided for this is a good price. When we did a performance audit of all of the city's public safety programs, it was a little over $150,000 to do that performance audit. And that was a great project, and it's not exactly apples and apples compared to this project, but I know the $60,000 that they quoted us to do this is a very fair price for what we will get in the end. I know it's going to be a great project, and luckily we've already raised enough to do most of the data gathering, but now we need to fill that $30,000 funding gap to do the project in full. So that's where we're at today. And Commissioner Morgan, I know that, you know, we talked real briefly about this last year, and your, I think your comment last year was the sooner we can get it done, the better, the more useful it will be to the county, and certainly that's still the case today. So if we can, rather than focusing on fundraising efforts, if we can focus on getting this project done, I think it would be beneficial to all of us.
I see value in an outside snapshot of what we're looking at, because you wouldn't, and especially with the mistrust or whatever you want to call it in government in general, when you self-analyze what your problems are, they're not going to believe you. But however, if you have an outside independent study that comes in and takes the whole thing and looks at it and gives them a recommendation, I think it's got a little bit more. I don't know what the price tag of that value is. That's my only thing, is I don't know what that price tag is. If that price tag is $60,000 or $100,000 or whatever, I think that's a value you have to put on it from this, from the two governing bodies. Is it worth it? You know, that type of thing. So, but I do, but I do see the value. Commissioners, you have questions and comments?
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that. So one question I had, even in my last job, getting reports from the state police was challenging. They had changed their way of sharing information, even with other agencies, and having to get approval through Salem. Very burdensome and very cumbersome, rather, is the better word. An endorsement from us would not change your access to state data.
Likely not, and it depends on the data we're looking for. We, as part of our project team, we have a city detective that has some relationships with the local Oregon State Police reps that he might be able to work with them to get information flowing a little bit better. But at the end of the day, they do have a public records request process. I've gone through that state police public records request process, and it's a little burdensome, but it is doable. Whatever is a public record that's not exempt from public records, we should be able to gather. It may take some time and a little bit of cost to gather it, but that's partially why we're engaging this firm. That's what they do. They know where to go to gather the information that they need to gather, and we're gonna lean heavily on them, because you know I'm not the expert on gathering this data or analyzing this data. I have a pretty good sense of the challenges that our local programs are dealing with, but they're the experts, so we're going to lean heavily on them to gather the right kind of information and analyze it appropriately.
One of the things, we attended a conference a couple weeks ago, and several of the vendors I spoke with were related to data gathering and having that information available to the public, not just for transparency, but for accuracy, for planning, all that other kind of stuff. I think that's one of the questions I have about this project, is it may get the data from point in time, but how is it comparative to other points in time? Mm-hmm. And as far as ongoing impact, we have, if you have the money that you've gathered the data right now, but we haven't yet seen the impact of the levy because we don't have the staffing there yet, what will the change of that be? And, you know, just some of the scope and so the ongoing need versus a one-time snapshot of information.
What I'm hoping happens is that we do this project over the next year, and then in another 2 to 3 years, we come back and we refresh certain data points that come out of it, or certain stats, because we'll know, you know, exactly where to go, you know, to get them. You know, the sources will be cited, the process will be cited, having completed this project. And as an example, the jail, I think, is one of those key areas that we would want to come back in 2 to 3 years to refresh, because that's where the bulk of the funding from the current levy is going to, and that's a program that's shared by all the different law enforcement programs in the county. So I think some of the jail-related stats that we'll gather, I think we definitely want to refresh those, and how has more fully funding the jail impacted all those other stats, particularly crime stats, over the next few years? So that's one area that I think we would want to go back and update a few years from now, as we figure out where we're going to go from here with law enforcement funding.
Commissioner Hare, do you have anything?
Do you have something, Jay? Tell me.
One other question I have. I overwhelmingly heard when I was campaigning that there is not a crime problem in the county. That 80% of the crime occurs in the city. That there's not a need in the county. That there's not an issue in the county.
Who did you hear that from?
Mr. Hunker said it in public several times.
Your opponent, that's not.
No, I hear you. I'm just saying that I was looking at one of the elements of resource comparison, and it talked about the city having that available. And I don't know, just want to, I guess that would, my question would be related to, is the outcome going to be looking at all the agencies equally, or is it just primarily going to be based on, well, the city's got the reports available, because they can report on their own crime there. How is this a benefit if, unless it's just focused primarily on the county?
Well, it's going to be gathering stats from all the agencies, and we will be focusing on all of them equally, but the county provides more of the programs that serve the entire county, not just the city. So the jail, you know, juvenile justice, DEA, community corrections. And so that's why there'll be a little bit more emphasis on data gathering with the county, but that's just because the county provides more justice services than the city does.
Last Monday at the Association of Oregon Counties Public Safety Committee, we had the discussion about law enforcement officers per 10,000 level, and I want to say Marion County was around 12, I think they were talking about. But it was a very interesting conversation, but at the end of it, they also talked about it can't be a per thousand or a per quota number because every county's needs and resources are different. The geography, right. Just the demographics of each county is different. So just saying that there's a magic number, because that was one of the questions asked.
Yeah, any comparisons that we do are not going to compare to the average county in Oregon. They're going to compare to Douglas, Klamath, Curry, and Jackson counties primarily. If we're doing any sort of peer comparison, like how many officers per capita, and that I learned when we went through the Grants Pass Public Safety Performance Audit a few years ago, that those sort of statistics aren't really meaningful. It's really about when it comes to police officers specifically, it's about how much proactive policing time do they have? Are they just running from call to call? What's their, it's not how many officers you have out there, it's how busy they are, and do they have proactive policing time, or are they meeting their call demands? That's the more important data point.
On your district attorney stats regarding failures to appear, one question that might be interesting to look at is any other counties actually charging the crime of failure to appear? Because versus just having an audit, that some counties charge the crime failure to appear. And I know that's not something we do locally. I don't think Jackson County does either, but some of the other counties around the state do.
Okay. And again, this is a draft scope. This is what we had to put together to get a firm quote from our contractors. Whereas, what will it take for you to get this project done for us? They may look at a couple of these and say, you know, we could do that, but it's going to be way more time consuming, and we're not going to get a good result in the end. So we may adjust this scope a little bit during the course of the project based on what they find when they start the data gathering. So this is not. We will be doing each and every one of these. These are what all the things we intend to do. We kind of put everything up on the board that we thought would make a comprehensive review of all of our local programs. And so we're again going to lean heavily on this experienced research firm to kind of guide us as far as what is a meaningful statistic and to keep the project within budget. And make sure that we have a good product in the end. So we may, like the one that I, the big data point that I want to try and gather, which is how much of our serious crimes is directly or indirectly related to meth and heroin. They might not be able to quantify that to the extent that I hope that they can. That may be a very, very difficult thing. The information may not be available to the extent we want to, but we're gonna quantify those sort of things to the best we can. And without burdening the city, county, or state staff on gathering too much data that's not readily available. So it's our intent to be as helpful as we can and not to spend too much time with your staff gathering this information. But we want it to be a very, very meaningful project when we're done.
I relinquish the floor.
Commissioner Hare, comment?
Yeah, I just want to thank, you know, you, Jay, and all of the other people that have been affiliated with SOS, how dedicated they are to this cause. I think it's our number one issue has been, I think, since I took office 8 years ago, is the top priority is to solve this, you know, sustainable funding. And I don't know that any county ever really does that because the issues grow. So even with Deschutes, they're having issues of funding it, and they've got what we proposed in 2008 and mm-hmm. failed. So you're never done. You're at a point where, you know, you're trying for the next thing. And having said that, I think timing, like you said, is absolutely key. We've almost doubled the amount of funding that we're contributing to our law enforcement system on our side of the pond in this next year. We just did that technically in November with the passage and collection of that revenue. Collecting data right now, the public already feels confident in the data that they have to make the decision that they did for the levy. I'm not saying that this doesn't have merit. Timing is key. For me, I want to reserve judgment right now. I want to think about it a little bit, but I have a hesitation, just like probably a lot of your other funders after the levy passed. I want to know what happens after we've done this system for a year or two and see what it looks like. Maybe what we ask the people to fund is not what needed to be funded, but asking that question right now is not going to give me an answer that's going to serve us well, I think, in 3 or 4 years, exactly where you're thinking about. So timing is key. The other one is asking the right questions. Whether or not heroin is a contributing factor to violent crimes, I could probably sit down with deputies in your office, you know, on your side of the pond, and deputies in ours, and put together the state troopers and say, what do you guys think? They're going to tell us, because they're out there every day, and they're going to say, yeah, this is your number one contributing factor, or domestic violence when these were, you know, these people were kids. I don't know, but I don't know that I have to hire somebody. I could probably do that on my own. Being part of the inception of this idea, I think, is probably key. I like the idea of a third party doing it, but credibility is also key. So I'm just kind of running through some of my thoughts here. I hope that's okay if it's a little bit scattered. You started out this by qualifying SOS's intent. It's murky out there. And you started with that because you know it's murky. You know that there are a substantial number of founding members, I would assume, with SOS, who were also active participants in proposals for law enforcement funding. And regardless of what you can say in your first minute or so in your presentation, that's not the reputation. You're accurate in trying to dispel that. So I can see putting $60,000 into a study, but if your name is at the top of it, there is a dominant group out there who's going to have a connotation to it. There is no difference between if the county were to do the same exact thing, the same exact study with the same exact contractor, our connotation is just going to be different. So I'm not really sure how you thread that needle or a way to disqualify the fact that this is where it's coming from, but the validity of whatever it is that you produce, regardless of how accurate, because we would get the same numbers you get if we did it, it comes with a connotation, and really what you're trying to do is provide them data in an objective way. And I just don't know if you're the right organization to sell that objective data to the people. So I have questions on that. I'd really like to have seen the city and the county from a standpoint of a foundation trying to come up with the right questions and to whether or not this study is something that we could have done, you know, probably tangentially in-house. I think we have LIPSC for a reason. The state is funding coordinators at a regional level for a reason. And this is a good question, and it should be asked. And I feel like LIPSC is the place where the state and the county and the city and the courts are all at the table to really go for it and lead it from that standpoint. I think I would have liked to have seen SOS, rather than going out trying to raise a bunch of money and whatever that entails, just petition the county and the city or Lipsick. I want these questions answered. There are questions of efficiencies of how the DA is working with the court system, how the DA is working with the sheriff and city police. Those are really valuable questions that need fixing, that I experience with talking to DAs and prosecutors and defense attorneys. The system has a lot of room for improvement and efficiency there, and I'm not sure you're going to tease that out with looking at some of the questions that you have here. So I'm not saying yay or nay right now. I think I want to withhold that. I want to think about it. Unfortunately, you're having your conference call tomorrow. How long have you guys been? I mean, I've been hearing about this for months, and I'm not saying that, you know, you've got a lot going on. You've got your job, personal life. The dedication that you have, Jay, and the other members of SOS is completely admirable. So thank you first. Second of all, maybe having this conversation, you're a little bit down the road for us to just, you know, sign up when it's a little bit packaged, even if it is in draft form. You're started, you know.
Yeah,
committed already. I mean,
as I mentioned, it's been pretty close to a year since we committed to doing this project, because we felt like no matter what happened with the election a year ago, this was going to be a long-term benefit to the local programs. And certainly I want you to take the information I've provided here, think about it, and any advice you have as far as getting this done or the best way to get it done or changes to the scope that you feel would be appropriate, I would like to hear about that. The connotation that SOS is very pro-law enforcement, of course it's true. That's primarily why we created this nonprofit organization, was to get county law enforcement justice programs back on its feet financially and in a sustainable manner. But I am not aware, I can't think of anybody, any group or any individual member of our local criminal justice and law enforcement programs that has the time to do this project, which is why we engaged with an independent third party to do this. When I think, yes, we're all capable of doing it, but who's got the time to oversee it and actually do it? I can't think of anybody. The sheriff certainly doesn't have that time.
But doesn't it require a fair amount of time? I mean, if it isn't asking the question, it takes time. It's gathering the information. It's like, yeah, we have all those reports. They're not codified anywhere. They're not, you know, collected, and we haven't gone through all of the data that says that these were all, I mean, he is collecting all of the marijuana related cases now. But I see this as being a huge internal staff amount of time.
To prepare it for you guys to look at.
Potentially. It's not our intent to burden staff, but we're gonna be getting a lot of information from the city, from the 911 center, from the state police, from the various county programs. And it's not, it's much bigger than just the county.
Yeah.
To find the right agency to coordinate that, maybe it is LipSync, but there's a cost to doing that, and we're doing it on a volunteer basis,
yeah,
working with the contractor, and we have engaged at least one of your justice program directors to help us along, so hopefully we get a better product in the end. But I can't, you know, I've not been able to think of anybody that has the time and the capability to coordinate this project. I would love to turn it over to the county and say, county, here's what we recommend you do. You go about it the best way you see fit. But I don't know if any of the county programs have the time to coordinate this project.
Well, it wouldn't be a single one. It would be, you know, kind of like, I mean, I'm just spitballing, and I really want to take some time. I don't want to make sausage here in public. And I rarely come up with a good solution. But it seems, from a state standpoint, endorsed in every region and every county, these questions that you're asking are the fundamental reason for LipSync to exist. Mm-hmm. And I don't shy away from trying to incentivize them to get back to their charter. We are the founding element of that. We go in there, petitioned by SOS, to say, you know, we have these questions. And they're not just, I'm not opposed to what you're doing, but I think the longevity element and the timing for me is key. I don't need to know right now. They all feel comfortable that we've made the case collectively, the sheriff and the DA and everybody else. There's an issue. Nobody's disputing that. What's it like when you put $8 million more into the system on our side of it and say, you know, the corrections just got a $1.5 million infusion of state dollars? How does that affect the whole system? That alone dramatically. Not to mention, we've almost doubled the size of our capacity for our jail to 185. And we opened up our juvenile shelter and detention facility. The fundamental things of the sobering center coming online. You've got a lot of elements that are out there, and they need time to kind of settle out. We're not even, it's like this month, we're finalizing some of the hires that we have in law enforcement for the jail. When he gets up to full capacity in August, is his expectation to be at 185. I'd love that to work for almost a year.
I agree.
To see what happens.
But to what you just said, you just rattled off, because you, all these concerns and all these different levels, who, I think it needs to be one person, organization, entity, or whatever, that's going to put all of that into one notebook. Because each one of them could say, your sheriff could say, I'm doing this and this is happening. But how they all interlace needs to go through, I think, one terminal. And this is probably that, can be that terminal. Maybe it isn't the ideal for that terminal, but I, you know, we've been at this thing for a long time, and I don't see anybody else stepping up with a comprehensive view of the whole thing, city and county involved. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of elements, and you just said it, you know, you just stepped off, and yes, those are part of Lipsick. I'm going to guess that's in their charter to do, basically keep an eye on all, because there's all those entities are all involved in that one juncture. But do they have an answer? Do they have the other data and are compiling it so you can put it into a spreadsheet and say, gee, I didn't know that. Gee, I didn't know that. Gee, I didn't know that. And how much time do you have, Commissioner Hare, to say, you know, I could do that. I'm sure you could do anything you put your mind to. But does Commissioner Hare and Commissioner Morgan or Commissioner Young have the time to say, okay, we're going to put everything else in it and go at this? And there are $35,000 from their mark. I'm not opposed to I would like to talk to the sheriff to see what he feels the impact would be on his department and how much time he would have to devote to a gathering of information, what an effect would have to him. Then if I see value in it, I wouldn't mind challenging the city of Grants Pass for a, you know, we put in X number of thousands of dollars and they got to match it. So those are just things, I'm just yeah, throwing it out. There's only a certain amount of things that we can do ourselves personally, sitting in this thing. Yeah, sure, you're capable of anything. I've watched you and Commissioner Morgan work at whatever you put your mind to, it's going to, by golly, get done. But we have an organization that wants to put together a project that will do all of that for us and then bring us back a results thing. And then we make a decision off of the information on that result, because they took the time to compile it, not us.
Well, let's revisit this.
But, Commissioner Morgan?
I would agree with that as far as revisiting. And I would like to hear the sheriff's weigh in on this and the district attorney and the impacts on their departments. One thing that does come to mind, as I was a member of the PAVE committee at the city, I found myself frustrated when those studies would be done and recommendations would be made and they'd be discounted or excluded for this or that. And it felt like, why did we go through that process? What's the hope for the use of the data? And every time we look at one of these, my hope is that the outcome is different. And I'm certain the companies going through it are not hoping that their report just goes on a shelf and isn't looked at. They are actually wanting it to be used towards strategic planning and outcomes that are effective in the community.
Well, sort of kicking off the project tomorrow. We're going to get them started on the data collection process relatively soon. But I would just encourage the commissioners to keep in mind that we are, regardless of that the jail and the programs aren't ramped up to the extent that they could be under the new levy, we are 2.5 years away from knowing, ideally we're 2.5 years away from knowing where we need to go next in terms of funding these programs. And so that we don't have a whole lot of time to sit back and wait if we want to do a comprehensive strategic planning process. So that's, I would just encourage you to keep that in mind.
One other thing I would add is that I believe out of our criminal justice mapping project that LIPSC coordinator conducted, I believe out of that came a data collection subcommittee. So LIPSC is working on a committee to get some data collection.
It's also a requirement of the justice reinvestment dollars that they make sure that they're being evaluated on a biannual for efficacy. And that's one of the reasons we did so well is because both we did that diligently and other counties did not, and we showed really positive results in implementing that here. So there is a little bit of a history of it working in-house and doing, but I think I want to think about it. So thank you so much, Jay.
I look forward to hearing your thoughts when you get there.
Yeah, we'll try to get that, put that kind of on the front burner so we can get some kind of answer back to you, so you sooner rather than later.
We would appreciate that.
Okay.
So we can figure out where we're going to go and how we're going to get it done.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up is Non-Toxic Rogue Valley. I have no clue what that is.
I think I'm going to go. It's on May 10th. It's in the afternoon, 5 to 6:30. It's a petition to start an initiative for Southern Oregon to, from a municipal standpoint, no longer use chemical applications for vegetation management and stuff like that. So,
For roadside weed control and vegetation control?
Potentially, yeah. So.
Well, and I know there's a push to look at how agencies are spraying as well. Aerial spray, that's a topic that...
It just says city, county kind of a thing. I imagine agencies are definitely going to be, roped into this, but we've been over this for 8 years since I've been on the board, and we've explored, there's a county in the Midwest that does weed control by freezing. So they freeze the plant, and there's those who burn it. Freezing is actually much more effective than burning it. Burning it, they come right back, more prolific. Freezing it kills it. So anyway, there's 20 miles of roads in Williams that has been owner maintained that has not been very successful at keeping the weeds at bay. And it compromises the integrity of the road base.
Well, like say for freezing it, I'm assuming you use CO2 or something of that sort to take care of that, but do you think that would be an acceptable thing to say the people out in Williams that are now maintaining their own thing?
I don't think that they would care.
They're against the pesticide side of it, but yeah, that'd be a different way of looking at it.
I'll just try to go.
So you want to go to that?
Yeah, I don't want to go, but I will go.
But you will go.
I think it's the right thing to do.
Okay, and then you'll bring back a report for us?
Yep.
Okay. Anything from other? Any others?
I drafted a letter that we talked about last week regarding the rural development housing thing, and I will have that ready by legal. Oh, it's...
Just kidding.
Just the letters to go to Congressman Walden and Senator Merkley as far as support for this. So I would, this is the draft that I prepared. I would ask us to look at it and sign it.
Is this for, okay. For the meal program.
Thank you.
Commissioner here. Thank you for doing this.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, it actually hit me pretty close to home. Not many people have relationships with their great-great aunts and uncles. My great-grandparents' siblings were alive until just a couple years ago. Actually, one of them is still alive, or the wife of. And I, when I was traveling back and forth to Salem as a PO, I would often stay with them and spend a lot of time. And I'd go to their noon meal and see how they socialize and see the interaction. And currently, I go to a church that I swear the average age is 85. And I love that I'm in a church congregation that celebrates the life experiences of people. But I also visit some of my congregation at their facilities in town, and have been to Rogue Valley, and been to Oakview, been to some of the ones out on Redwood Avenue in that area. And it really does center around that meal. And it is a time for them to, just last year I helped get my great uncle into the suites. And that was part of it, was getting him down to the meal to interact with other people. So
why are they proposing regulations? Regulations are they proposing?
Essentially, that right now the their process has been that in an application they ask people if they will be participating in a meal program or not. They give priority to the residents that need the meal program for the sake of keeping the cost even throughout all the residents. They had several that after living their petition to get out of the meal program, and what they found is it's not now cost effective for the remaining folks. And there's been pressure to try to push that you can't prioritize based on people needing the meals or not. And
I don't think I'm following.
Okay. We've gotten a slew of emails and a recommendation from our local HUD director, and this would be in consistence with her recommendations. Bill Lovelace is, I can forward it to you if you'd like.
No.
But Senator Merkley is going to be taking it to a group next week, and they were asking for local support. And so this letter would essentially go to Senator Merkley and Representative Walden saying that we would support.
Sure sounds good, but I don't understand all the nuances, and I don't know that I really want to. It's just going to Merkley. I don't want to put my name on something that I don't understand also.
Sure. Merkley and Walden are the two it's going to that are supporting the effort.
To keep the regulations as they are, which will...
To allow them to prioritize for people that want meals for their housing. So essentially trying to, one recommendation the USDA had come up with, well, just privatize your meals, bring an outside for-profit in to do your meals. And they're like, no, we can do this more cost affordably in-house. The units don't even have cooking units in them. They have two burners and a microwave, but the whole idea is that we have, since our inception in the 80s, have prioritized towards people who will need meals so we can make it cost effective for everybody.
That makes sense.
And now they're saying, well, you can't prioritize based on that anymore. So
you have people opting out of the program, which leaves the 10 people that are left.
Correct.
And it's not efficient. So you can't get into it if you don't want the meals, or they're not, you know.
Yeah, there was a push to say you can't accept residents if by prioritization of if they want meals or not. Huh. And in order to keep the efficacy of their program, they were giving a prioritization and scoring. It was a 3 points versus 0 points.
Sure. When do you have to have that done by?
He presents it to the committee next week. So what I can do is forward you the emails that I received from him, and so you can look at them and
help
you do it later.
Yeah, let's do it on Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah,
we had talked about it last week, but I realized you had left that meeting.
Okay.
And so last week we had agreed to go forward with it, but and realizing you weren't at that conversation, so I apologize.
No big deal.
So, all right, we'll follow up.
Okay, anything else? Seeing nothing, we are adjourned at 10:10. Thank you.
Thank you.